Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Coming up in an hour, the Tennessee Power Hour, where we discuss the Tennessee Titans as they head to Seattle this coming week and what must change. And we'll take a couple of layers to that with what Seattle's going to be bringing to the table. That's all straight ahead in the Tennessee Power Hour. Outkick 360 across the Outkick Network, talking NFL and SEC headlines throughout the day. There are three NFL teams that feature, going into week two, a top 10 offense and a top 10 defense. Half the league's 1-0, but not every team feels like they played a complete performance on both sides of the football. There are three teams that have to feel pretty good about where they sit, despite the teams that they actually are when they look in the mirror. Week one is not representative of where we're going to be in week 17 by any means, but I think it's interesting to point out the surprising teams that do feature both a top 10 offense and defense. The first, the Philadelphia Eagles, they rank in the top 10 of offense and defense. Now, part of that is they face the Atlanta Falcons, but there were also teams that faced, for instance, the New Orleans Saints won 38-3. They're not on this list. The Broncos are on this list. They faced the New York Giants, top 10 offense and defense in yards. And the Los Angeles Chargers, who won on the road against Washington. Biggest surprise there to me is Denver, yes, with Teddy Bridgewater at quarterback, who played very well. I mean, he was efficient. Of these three teams, I think we're most high on the Chargers, even though Chad's not as high as Paul and I are. But of the three, I think the Chargers have the best chance of actually living up to what they did in week one. What do you guys think?
Well, a lot of NFC East in there as the opposition with some of these stats. I think it's one thing to look at with the Chargers and the Broncos being on that list, going up against possibly really bad NFC East teams.
And then the Eagles face one of the, if not the worst team in the league right now, in Atlanta. Atlanta was so bad.
The Eagles were the one that really surprised me.
Me too.
I don't think we all know Atlanta. There's a reason Arthur Smith got hired there. That they were bad, and they're probably going to be bad. But there was no excuse for that level of beatdown on both sides. I mean, I didn't see Philadelphia coming to that game with the capability of dispatching of someone to that level the way they did against Atlanta. I think that if I'm looking for, I know you guys are big Chargers believers, and it's not that I don't think they're good. I'm just not completely on that bandwagon. I think if there's a team in this mix that could really surprise, it's Denver. I think Denver defensively, the way they're set up, and if Teddy Bridgewater can return to the old Minnesota Teddy Bridgewater.
Von Miller had two sacks.
Von Miller still out there making plays. I think Denver could be a bit of a surprise, the way they run the ball.
I'm thinking Denver's a defensive football team run by a defensive football coach. I'm thinking Philadelphia, if they're any good, is going to have to be an offensive football team, and they scored a bunch of points, right? Their defense played well, too. But the thing to me about the Chargers is they've got the bright young quarterback. They're set,
yeah,
with a defensive football coach who's very good. In them, I see the most potential to sustain the balance that you're talking about here, with a top 10-ish offense and defense.
Well, so the Broncos pressured the Giants on 11 of their 34 dropbacks and Daniel Jones, and did it by rushing four or less. That's the key with Denver. I buy defenses that can get to the quarterback without blitzing. Denver's one of those teams, down in and down out, where they can get pressure without having to send an extra man. That's extremely valuable on the back end.
And they're a team. I don't like Denver, but being a division rival of the Chiefs, when you describe that, I'm thinking in my head, that's the kind of team as a division rival that could pick off Kansas City one time, right, with the familiarity and all that.
And also interesting in Atlanta, you brought up Philadelphia in their dominance, Chad. The Falcons opened the game with long drives on back-to-back possessions. The scripted, quote-unquote, scripted portion of Arthur Smith's game plan worked. Their first two drives combined for 146 yards.
What'd they get after that?
Matt Ryan, after that, had 156 yards for the game passing total. And their offense got 146 combined yards on the first two possessions. They crossed midfield twice against Philadelphia. And they actually performed well out of the gate on their first two possessions. And then things just fell apart.
And 6 points,
Arthur Smith,
right?
Arthur Smith blamed himself at the podium postgame, saying, hey, I just didn't have the guys ready to play. That's not a good sign for first-year head coaches when you look around the league where Culley won, Sirianni won, and Staley, the new head coach in L.A., who no one can name. No one can name the head coach of the Los Angeles Chargers. And Staley won his first game.
I still see Lynn when I think of the head coach of the Chargers
right now. Yeah, it's not Lynn.
I'm not even seeing his face pop up when I think Chargers. The Arthur Smith, you just got me thinking about Arthur Smith with the scripted early in the game and how successful. Is that going to rub off on Todd Downing and the Titans at any point, the way they started the game?
Just about everybody doesn't have their team ready at some point. It's very disconcerting when it's the first week because you have all of that time, you know, 35, 40 days before you go into – you have Lent to get your team, ready for the season, and then you have the week where you really focus on the opponent. And so when that training camp, I wrote about this, and when we've talked about it this week for the Titans, when that preseason period leaks into your week one prep and you come out, not just lose, but lose badly and lose where you don't hit on the thematic things for the Titans. It's just complimentary football and the new defensive swagger. And when those things don't carry over, that's a very deflating and annoying thing.
It's also, look, this is the week for overreaction, good and bad, based on what we saw in week one. That Packers beat down at the hands of the Saints, you watch that, and it's hard not to start to think about, are we seeing some cracks on down the line? Is this something that's going to be constant? Matt LaFleur said it was an embarrassment, that performance. And then Aaron Rodgers sort of laughs at that when he's told it by a reporter, and he says, we got our ass kicked 1 out of 17 games. It's 1 out of 17. Clearly that was not good enough and we got destroyed, but it's 1 out of 17, and would not go as far as to be emotional and say it's an embarrassment.
I'll let him use his
but
words.
But you know what fans want to hear. If you're one of the teams that got thrashed in week one, if you're the Packers, if you look like you weren't ready, if you're the Falcons and Arthur Smith taking blame for not having his team ready, you want to hear what you feel embarrassed. You want the players and the coaches to feel embarrassed. But it also, to put it in perspective, it is 1 of 17, right? This is not college football where one game can derail your college football playoff chances or whatever it may be. You got to come back and be better. And that's, you know, the biggest part for these teams that we think are pretty good, that in some cases think are really good, that they've got to bounce back quickly.
Well, Titans fans should take solace in what happened with Green Bay. Green Bay had the number one offense in the NFL last year and put up 3 points in week one with the MVP returning.
Right?
With
Titans
the MVP
were what?
Returning.
Third, fourth last year?
Yeah, right behind them, yeah. So, I mean, there is solace in that. And expectations are greater in Green Bay than they are here in Nashville. But it's really not that far off based on what the Titans have added. And speaking of that, and tying in Atlanta, here's the talk in Atlanta Sports Talk Radio. And I'm basing it off of just friends who have relayed this to me. And Julio Jones and his performance in week one. And again, I'm not saying I buy it. We're relaying this for discussion purposes. The thought in Atlanta going into the offseason, and they're still talking about it now after week one and their debacle and what they look like, is not, oh, Arthur Smith's in over his head as a play caller and a head coach. It's not, oh, this team is in rebuild mode, even though they are. It's not this team is terrible on defense, even though they are. It's a lot about Julio. And the expectation, guys, and again, I'm just relaying the message here, is that they drafted Pitts with the intention of pairing him with Julio Jones, with Calvin Ridley, and with Russell Gage. We viewed this all offseason as they can't afford to keep Julio Jones because of the salary cap. We now know that Julio restructured here, where he's counting what against the cap now, Paul? Here.
Under $2
million. Under $2 million. So they're taking that into account, knowing that Julio restructured and knowing that he could get paid up front, which if you read into ownership in Atlanta, it sounds like they wanted to mend things and make things work, even though they gave him the big extension and made him the highest paid wide receiver in 2019. That's the mentality there. Here's what was sent to me in a text. Julio didn't like the way Arthur was going to push him to practice and not let things slide. So he asked out. And then this was asked to me. Does Julio Jones love ball enough to actually practice in Tennessee? And my response to that was, well, I want to see him perform in Tennessee. It doesn't matter to me if he practices. It matters right now. He didn't miss a practice last week going into week one. He practiced today. He's not on the injury report for the Titans, which means he was on the field as a full participant. Paul, what do you think on that aspect, knowing that this is not a good team anyway, and knowing that the Titans acquired Julio and the talk here was, well, they're going to manage his time and health throughout the season. Vrabel's very good at that, but they've got to get him up to speed with this offense, and quite frankly, it didn't look like they were ready to go as an offense Sunday.
Yeah, well, you would have liked to. I think we'll go back to it until he settles in and is himself, the camp time, mm-hmm. right? So the depressing thing, the concerning thing is, and we said this, the first full team period he participated in, he went up to catch something in the back of the end zone, had an awkward landing, and then disappeared for 3 weeks. More than 3 weeks.
I mean,
that's the time you needed for him to get in sync. Then if he's not practicing, if he's got Wednesday veteran day off, he practices Thursday, Friday's basically a walkthrough.
Right.
That's no big deal. They're going to do that with a lot of veteran guys, particularly as the season wears on. That's how Vrabel works. That's fine. If he's producing on Sunday, for sure, then it's not a conversation topic. But if it turns out to be a love ball question, as your friend uses those words, and he's probably not conscious of the love ball issue here as it pertains to Vic Beasley, Jadeveon Clowney, Isaiah right. Wilson. If it does turn out to be a love ball question on top of those three, if you're stacking another one on top and this one costs $15.5 million a year for 2 years, money that they've moved forward, if it winds up being that kind of an issue, a judgment issue on their front, that's going
to
be a problem.
It's weird to hear Arthur Blank discuss not Julio not practicing.
Yeah, as opposed to Arthur Smith.
Yeah, well, right. And then he's not practicing here during the preseason, and then that's now a topic, even though it was not a topic when the Titans traded for him. Because I don't think it's a big deal if the guy practices or once a week during the regular season. But they've got to get him up to speed, and it's got to happen fast. To get there, to be able for this offense to generate what we expect from this core group. And there are high expectations for good reason. You don't go after a guy like that and not have them. But in Atlanta, they're not surprised by the lack of production early on. But to me, that's also a bit of sour grapes.
It's a situation to monitor. It's not a reason to panic or freak out right now, one game in. But I'm definitely keeping an eye on this situation. For this reason, I agree with you, Hutton, that it's not a big deal if he goes out and can perform on Sundays if he practices once a week.
Yeah, he may not love ball, but he loves Sundays.
My question, though, would be, why are you not practicing but once a week? Is it a physical limitation? Is it an age thing? Or do you just not like to practice and it's not that important to you? Because there is something about daily preparation to get ready for Sundays that could lead to better performance. So I'd like to know the root cause of him practicing once a week. And when everyone – I think some of this is definitely sour grapes with Atlanta.
I do too.
But when everyone is saying it, it's why I – before the season started, I said, I think Julio Jones is going to be fine if the Titans are winning. I think that Julio Jones will quickly lose interest. I don't know if they get – if they go to Seattle and get beat down and they're 0-2, I don't think it's then – but if Julio Jones is not a big part of this offense, if he's struggling, and better yet, he wanted out of Atlanta because they weren't a contender. He was happy in Nashville with the Titans because the Titans are supposed to be a contender. If they're not a contender a third of the way through the season, I would get very concerned about Julio Jones and his level of participation. with this team.
You're listening to Outkick 360 on the Outkick Network. If you have us along for the ride in Florence, Alabama, Muscle Shoals, Huntsville, Knoxville, we say thank you. Welcome to Outkick 360 across the Outkick Network. If you're watching live on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, we hope you'll share the post as well and join us in the conversation on the YouTube chat or by following us on Twitter at Outkick360. If you've been to Gainesville, Florida, we are welcoming your recommendations. Chad and I would love to jump in on a few of these recommendations, not name the Purple Porpoise. Someone told us to go there. I haven't looked this up. Don't prejudge, you're saying? I feel like it's part of an inside joke, you know?
I think you should give it a chance.
I'm not in a hurry to go there. Isn't that, we're also told about a bar called the Swamp, right?
Yes, yes.
I've been on Twitter, and please keep them coming. Someone recommended Spurrier's Gridiron Grill in Gainesville, which they said you're going to have to make a reservation. But Hutton, I've got it pulled up right now. It looks.
You know what it reminds me of? Just looking at it looks like Marley's in Phoenix. You know how we went in?
Oh, yeah, Dan Marley's restaurant. Yeah. I thought you said like Marley and Me.
No.
I thought you meant Marley Matlin.
Now, this is great, though. This is if you go to the website for Spurrier's Gridiron Grill, what pops up is a quote from Steve Spurrier, and it just says, "What we're all about." And from Spurrier, he says, "The other day, someone asked me what my restaurant is like." Paul may have to do this in a Spurrier accent.
The other day.
Hey, just hand it over here to him. Let him read it.
Hand him the Spurrier.
Let me see.
What we're all about, according to Paul Spurrier.
What did I have to say
about
this place?
Let's hear it from Paul Spurrier.
Because when you say I had this to say, really, my boy Jimmy Bob wrote this. I don't have a damn thing to do with this. I'm golfing, sleeping, or wearing big, thick glasses that make it look like I'm alive behind there. The other day, someone asked me what my restaurant's like. I told them to roll my interviews into one, then take the most renowned regional football museum for miles and add all American food that rivals the best in the city. It's something like that. Steve Spurrier said that. That's what it says right here on the interweb.
I mean, what a
pitch and catch.
What an intricate quote. He's like, just roll it all into one and then put in some good tasting food.
Chad, if you roll down here, you go to dinner and there's a sketch of a steak. Is it a picture of a steak? Drink, if you go down to drinks,
we're absolutely going now.
A cocktail, there's some ice in it, and it's about half full with bourbon.
We got to go. In honor of Paul Spurrier, we're definitely going to Spurrier's Gridiron Grill.
I'm gonna go on a limb and say we're working on getting Spurrier on the show Saturday
Relax
morning.
Like a winner. That's our slogan. Relax like a winner.
That quote, by
Not
the
like
way.
Not like a loser, like a UT. Yeah. Can't spell UT without citrus.
Can't spell UT without citrus.
That's how I say it. I flipped it around. I pulled a little switcheroo on it.
Oh, man. This just reeks of a guy who's getting 2% to lend his name to a restaurant.
Yeah, I got no damn thing to do with that restaurant.
I don't know if he's ever even eaten there.
I don't even know what street it's on.
Someone asked
and
me
I used to live in Gainesville.
I have a sneaky suspicion he knows all about it.
Because we asked you for a quote about
the
restaurant.
Go to the menu.
Jimmy Bob, write me a quote about my restaurant.
I mean, he's getting a very small percentage.
I ate there once. It's pretty good.
You want to go to the main menu here?
Yeah, let's just see what do they have at Spurrier's.
Get the swordfish.
They have cheesy rolls for bread.
Those aren't that
starters.
Good.
You guys ready?
Yeah.
Orange and blue shrimp. This is seasoned and tossed in rice flour and Spurrier's Louisiana shrimp sauce.
Let me tell you about the orange and blue shrimp for a second, Chadwick. Don't go too fast. I mean, they put a little food coloring in there, a little dye. That's a secret.
Truffle short rib crostinis.
No.
Eggplant fritters.
Yeah, they're all right.
They got charred shishito peppers.
Yes.
Those are the stuff. They got soups, tailgate chili, soup du jour.
Oh, I like that
chili.
Which
is the soup
now.
Of the day.
I like that chili. That'll power me up. Give me a little gas in the tank.
How many salads would you like me to roll through here? You're
the
salad guy.
Do they have over, under six salads?
One, two, three, four, five salads.
Under.
One of the salads, by the way, being a grain bowl. That's the salad.
I'll be ordering that Friday.
You could call a lot of things a salad, Chadwick.
This is a place that's, there we go. We got it up on the screen now, too. Thank you, Jacob. This is a decent... American fare restaurant that is probably pricing itself up to maybe a little bit more than just a decent.
Look at the macadamia encrusted mahi.
Listen, how do you think I tip the guy who cleans my clubs at the club? with this up charge.
Jacob, what are you ordering with us this weekend? That Spurrier's bacon cheeseburger there?
Jacob, we don't have a place for you to step out and smoke.
He loves mahi, he says.
Of course he does.
No step.
Of all the things in the menu.
Yeah, it's on Clay for sure.
He's going to have the crustini. I just look at it. Sometimes a guy comes in, I size him up, I know what he's ordering right away.
Well, here's where we get into the real Spurrier part of the menu. Spurrier's bacon cheeseburger, which I will say sounds delicious because the grind is short rib, brisket, and chuck blended patty. With bacon, white cheddar cheese, lettuce, tomato, red onion on a brioche bun.
Hey, we got another sucker that's buying that.
He's getting it.
How about that's ground beef from down the street at the Piggly Wiggly.
Paul, you're going to love this one. Johnson City tomato grilled cheese sandwich. Enjoy the same sandwich Spurrier's mama made him right down to the tomatoes shipped from his hometown of Johnson City, Tennessee.
Shipped from down the street on Grove Street. You guys are suckers.
I'm in.
Yeah, we need to go.
Hit us up at Outkick360 for your suggestions if you've been down to the Swamp recently. I haven't been since 2005.
Swamp it up. I was there on 9/11. Fun day.
What were you down there to cover? You were not there
on 9/11. You were there a week after 9/11.
No, I was there on 9/11.
Oh, that's right. You were there to get. Okay, I got you. Yeah.
What were you there to do?
I was previewing UT. This was my period of between the Titans beat and the NFL. Broader Titans 2.
Think about that, though. Think about the status of the newspaper industry in 2001, that the Tennessean paid for you to fly, I'm guessing, to fly to Gainesville.
I flew to Jacksonville.
To
drove
cover
to Gainesville.
A Tennessee-Florida game in advance and not just go for one night.
On a Tuesday. I was there on a Tuesday for a Saturday.
Amazing. Amazing how far
what
it's
What was
fallen.
Your story that day?
Ron Zook.
But prior to 9/11.
I don't remember precisely what I was doing, but I was at their day of availability. And then I went Wednesday to – so the Titans were playing the Jaguars the next week. And so I went to Jacksonville.
Okay.
And Coughlin had a son, I think, in get out of one of the buildings. And so Coughlin was talking the next day for his regular media availability. So I was with the Jaguars Wednesday. And I was hoping to get the hell out of Jacksonville on Wednesday. My boss kept making me stay because the SEC kept not making its decision about what it was doing with its game.
And you had to stay boots
on
the ground in case they were playing
on Saturday. So until they canceled, I think they didn't cancel until Thursday. And then I drove.
How do you not have – it was just the purple porpoise every day for you? How do you not have recommendations for us?
That's 20 years ago. You know, they just celebrated the 20th anniversary of this. You think I memorized my 2 days in Gainesville?
You did memorize the menu.
You remember the one
Reed's
option.
Got some thought.
You remember the one option.
Yeah, so speaking of that being 20 years ago, there's no signs that there's a place in Gainesville called the purple porpoise anymore.
Okay.
It looks like it shut down in like 2005.
That was Hutton's.
It was a good run.
This was Hutton's recommendation.
Once I left town.
From a guy who played on one
down.
Of Steve Spurrier's first there teams.
Former Gator told me to go there.
Okay, there is one in Key West if you guys want to go a little further
south. That's a better spot, frankly.
I really prefer this game be played in Key West.
You wanted a beach.
I'd be all in.
You said you're out on Gainesville.
Let's fly into Miami. Let's go over that big bridge. Let's do it all.
Jacob, what's the name of the fest, or is it just called Gainesville Fest?
The fest.
He said it's the fest, and it's happening a week. It's happening next month. We're going a month
is
early.
Is there a
from
fest you don't know about?
Oh, he's this guy.
I mean, this is a guy who talks about Psycho Fest all the time that he's been to.
He knows the fest schedule.
What was it? Opeth? Is that who I asked you about earlier?
Opeth?
Mastodon?
Opeth and Mastodon are playing the Ryman Auditorium, which is just, to me, is just, the could not be more opposite, you know, when you think about this.
Do some of these names not just scare you?
Oh.
And Swedish death metal.
Jacob
Blackwater Park, Swedish death metal. I mean, I'm just scared. Hearing the name scares me.
When I search Mastodon images, Mastodon.
The Ryman thought they had it bad when Dave Chappelle was smoking on stage, and now they have Mastodon playing.
These guys could conceivably burn the building down.
Was it Johnny Cash that destroyed some things backstage at the Ryman?
No, on stage. Remember, he smashed up the lights.
Oh, that's right.
And stuff.
He wasn't allowed back. They haven't seen anything. If they thought Johnny Cash is bad smashing the lights out, then when there's a human sacrifice on stage from Mastodon coming up at the Rhino. Now is the portion where we channel the Swedish horror film Midsummer and we bring out our human sacrifices.
At the Tennessee,
this is our intermission.
We used to always joke about going to see this band at 12th and Porter. It's a very intimidating, scary name. I can't think of it. I'm going to get it. And when I get this
Ghost?
Name, I guarantee you that Jacob has probably been a roadie for them.
Diarrhea Planet?
No.
That's not as intimidating as some of these.
This was more kind of German.
Sounds like a crappy place to live to
Ramstein?
Me.
Ramstein?
No. You're not going to hit it. Let me do some research.
John McClane's band name?
No.
That's
no,
pretty
no,
scary.
No. I'd go see that.
Depending on who's on stage. could be much less scary.
Schvilkes. I think it was Schvilkes.
Jacob,
you're familiar
thoughts?
With
thumbs
Schvilkes?
Up, thumbs down? Yeah. Polka band.
No,
he says.
It's no polka.
That's the least intimidating sounding band I've ever heard. Schvilkes?
That's scary.
Dwayne.
It sounds Yiddish.
Dwayne on Twitter says, my recommendation for Gainesville is keep driving. All right.
Go to a beach somewhere that's not landlocked. I just thought, does anyone get excited when they think about landlocked Florida? Like, is this the next big tourism boom in the state? Hey. We know we
you make
got great
it sound
big
like
beaches
you live
in
the beach.
Peninsula. Well, I know, but if I'm going to Florida, I'm going to the beach.
Well, it's closer to the beach than you are.
Great. Again, if I'm going to Florida, I'm going to the beach. If I'm coming to Tennessee, I'm coming to Nashville,
yeah,
where we are right now, downtown.
All beaches in Florida are not created equal.
No, not
Key
at all.
West isn't great, by the way.
And Jacksonville's one of the worst cities I've ever stepped foot in.
No, Jacksonville's bad, but Jacksonville Beach is nice. It's kind of remote.
It's just
which
so,
isn't a bad thing.
Jacksonville is like Dayton, Ohio
city.
For Florida.
It really is.
I just can't imagine like being accepted to the University of Florida and not knowing anything about Gainesville and then finding out that it's not on a beach and how pissed off I'd be.
Well, I would hope you'd study,
oh,
up,
oh,
on,
you mean
study up on the schools
you've
you're applying to a little
entire,
better than that.
You got this entire state. It's a peninsula. The whole outline, there's a very, you know, there's not a lot of room there. You've got all this beach around it where you put all these great cities and great places. And you put the university in the middle of the state?
That's quite a college application process you've got going there, Chad, where you apply and then you find out where the school's located.
I'm telling you, there are people that have done that before. Yeah. Trust me.
Real geniuses. They deserve to go to schools like Florida and worse.
I applied to Pepperdine for the simple reason it was in Malibu.
that place is gorgeous. Did you get in?
I think so.
Let's not pretend we don't remember where
no,
we got into
college. I did. I just remember that the price tag was so steep. It was just a fool's fantasy at the time.
Well, yeah, you can come to our school.
Yeah,
here's the check.
Have your parents take out four more mortgages.
We love financially damaging the lives of lower middle class families out of state. Come on. Take on as much debt as you want.
You'd still be paying for it.
Oh, we
right
got
now.
A great look at the interest rate on this loan that you can take out right now. It's terrific. You're going to love it.
You would have talked to Clay and been like, just send my paycheck directly to Pepperdine.
Yeah, just I live out here with the homeless people outside of our studio. It's like, send all my money there.
A yeehaw, that's perfect. It's right near my bridge.
He would be. He'd be selling the staff to make ends meet. A magic wand.
I will tap your party tavern with my staff. And
there
be
was
good
a
luck for you. That'll
backstory
be
to that.
Each.
There was someone on the side of the street that offered. He wanted to sell his magic wand, quote unquote, to Jacob for $1 million. Quickly reduced the price to $5. And I asked Jacob, "Why did you not buy that magic wand?"
He didn't
for
$5? Have any. He didn't have any small bills.
The guy wasn't accepting Venmo.
Look,
we need
Jacob
that guy
waited
on
it
the
out.
Show.
Jacob waited it out, and he got a staff for free.
Yeah, we need that guy on the show.
We have
there it is.
That's the shaking of the staff.
Let's get to the
real quick though. Lebowski does state that Jacksonville is the Shoney's of the shoreline cities.
That's exactly
as
right.
Long, at least it's got a shore though.
As long as we're not going to Luby's, I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Luby's went out of business when that guy drank all their soup.
David Reed, thanks you for that.
Let's go to the Outkick 360 Parlay with FanDuel.com. PK has the honor today, and it's time to go to Major League Baseball on what is a light sports night, but some impactful Major League Baseball games for the pennant chase.
I did not draw the parlay on a strong day for activity, so I just went to what I know, the American League East, and what do I have? I think the Yankees are on a little bit of a bounce back here. playing the Orioles. They're due to beat the Orioles. They took care of them yesterday. They're going to take care of the Orioles tonight on the money line.
This will be the same result as last night, though, by the way. Rays and Yankees both winning.
And Tampa Bay got the 2-0 win over Toronto, who's due to fall back to earth a little bit after a very hot streak. So this is what we did yesterday. This is what we're doing today. The Rays to win, Yankees to win on the money line. It's plus $2.92, $5 will pay out $19.60. Let's win and continue.
I love Paul's betting strategy of they're due. That's every time. Hey, they're due for a win.
Well, no,
they're due for a loss.
The Yankees beat Baltimore yesterday. They're due in their overall season series with Baltimore to come out more ahead.
Chad's logging in to bet this. Chad, don't even bother. The reason for that is the first pitch has already happened with the Rays and the Toronto Blue Jays.
No.
And the Blue Jays are up 3-0, bottom of the first.
Uh-oh.
Paul, your thoughts.
I did not look at the start time.
No, not the start time. Your thoughts on the score.
My thoughts are, no, they're going to come back.
Because I bet this as well.
The Rays are they're a team that comes back a lot.
If you want to go to UEFA Champions League action, Sporting Lisbon is trailing Ajax 5-1.
Ajax.
In that game? Ajax?
Yeah.
A-J-A-X?
Ajax.
Okay.
Speak Dutch.
In America, we call it Ajax. Plus 5,000 on a tie. If you think they're going to score four goals here in this
game. I desperately wanted to bet Champions League today. Unfortunately, they all kicked off before we start. So instead, I picked a baseball game that kicked off before we got to the parlay.
It's all good. We bet it. Luckily, for Chad's sake, he didn't have to lose $5.
You guys should not have gotten me into this app, because guess what I'm doing right now?
Look, we're throwing
but
away.
Not a bunch of soccer draws.
We're throwing away $5 at a time here.
I just refreshed. It's now 5-1 Blue Jays.
That's tough.
I'm telling you, I still like – I'll go put another five on Tampa Bay.
Oh, tough and go. We just tweeted out the parlay, too, where it says Tampa Bay Rays money line. Go jump on it now. You know what? I'm going to double up on it. I'm going to take the Rays money line where they are right now.
I like
that. What are the odds? What are the odds now?
Odds are probably outrageous right
Boys,
now.
You want
Let's do it live.
You want a good bet right now, too?
What tie are you giving us? Bruges and PSG?
Nope. Liverpool leads AC Milan 3-2 in the 77th minute. It is plus 700 for a tie.
It's now
AC Milan is going to score again and tie this
It's now 6-1 Blue Jays as they continue by the second to just lift off.
Really hit it right in the middle of it.
Rays are plus 2,000 currently to win the game. All right, so let's win.
Big rally for the Rays.
Too busy betting on soccer.
I'm having trouble getting logged in.
Well, but there you go. Take the Rays. If you're joining us late on replay on the podcast, weep for us. Weep for us. 360 Parlay presented by FanDuel.com and a great offer that I highly recommend taking advantage of if you're a first-time user with FanDuel. Kansas City and Baltimore this weekend. New users only, 30-1 odds on either side for the upcoming Chiefs-Ravens game. Max bonus, $150. You bet 5 to win 150. And you bet 5 to win 200. So you can win big with the Chiefs and the Ravens. The game is this Sunday. It's Sunday night, 7:20 Central, 8:20 Eastern. Deposit is $10. You bet $10. You deposit $10, bet 5, you can win 150 with the odds. FanDuel.com/OK360. FanDuel.com/OK360. Again, the website, if you're not a user, Chad, you like to say, if you haven't been to FanDuel.com/OK360.
Why not?
We got new people coming to the show every day. So if you're one of those new people and you haven't jumped on this offer, you're not already signed up at FanDuel, here is your cue. Do it right now.
Shout out to Fox Sports Shoals and Fox Sports Knoxville for tuning in to the show. If you're around there, please let us know at Outkick360 is where you can find us. You can also find us on YouTube by searching out the Outkick360 YouTube channel. We want you to subscribe to the channel where you can get video replays of the show after we are off air, plus clips that you can find on the channel as well. You'll also be able to catch us live this coming Saturday morning. We will be live in Gainesville. Chad, we are joining Fox and Outkick for Outkick the Tailgate, which will be Saturday mornings, 9 to noon Eastern, across the SEC, across the South, for big college games.
Looking forward to doing this. This will be the first of what we hope are many of these, where we're going to some different locales all across the South. And I kid earlier about it, but I am looking forward to crossing Gainesville off my list of places that I've been in the SEC, because I have not been before. Expecting a huge atmosphere for Florida and Alabama this weekend. hope to see a lot of people in Gainesville and really looking forward to getting this thing started. Again, 9 a.m. to noon Eastern time Saturday morning on all the Outkick channels.
One thing I am buying with this NFL Week 1 and for the foreseeable future is how lopsided the league is. I'll explain next on Outkick 360. Outkick 360 is back, and coming up in about 15 minutes, the Tennessee Power Hour, we will try to dissect more of what is ailing the Tennessee Titans. We'll give you the injury report and much more. There is a veteran listed at the top of their report that is not good if you're a Titans fan. We'll explain. Guys, there are a lot of trends that are tough to decide whether or not you want to buy into after 1 week across the league. One thing I think is firm going from here to October, November, the NFL is NFC lopsided to me. As I look through the results and review a few of the games from this week, the best teams are in the NFC. And if you're listing the top 10 teams right now, I mean, you would list Tampa Bay, San Francisco, LA, Seattle, Arizona, Dallas, New Orleans, in no particular order, but we know Tampa would be at the top. Kansas City, of course, would be at the top. But Buffalo and Cleveland, you're still buying into. But after that, the Titans still have some work to do. Pittsburgh, people think they're old and they're going to drop off a cliff, but they're still in the mix. Who else are we sure about in the AFC? I'm certain about several teams in the NFC, and there are just a lot of question marks for me across the American Football Conference.
You're certain about Dallas?
Yes, with Dak Prescott. Last year they averaged 33 points with him per
game. I'm not certain about their defense by any means.
33 points a game is going to win you a great majority of the games you're going to play.
Well, I mean, I think we'd be certain about
that against a very good Tampa defense.
Wouldn't we be certain about the Titans offense coming into the season too? Given what they did?
I mean, that Titans game did a lot to create doubt about the Titans, and the Green Bay game did a lot to create doubt about Green Bay. Beyond those two games, I'm not going to count too much week one stuff. So I've still got a lot of faith in Cleveland. I've still got a lot of faith in Buffalo. I lost some faith in Baltimore with the injuries they suffered, even though they played reasonably well. I've still got a lot of faith in a lot of AFC teams. I liked the Chargers a lot before that game, and they gave me some reasons to stay there. Kansas City, obviously, clearly still one of the best teams in the league.
If we're doing power rankings, there are a lot of NFC teams in my mind going into the year that I'm high on now after seeing them play and perform that I didn't think would perform at a consistent level going into the year. I'm more certain about a number of NFC teams.
I just think what gives – I don't know that it's –
A big reason is the NFC West.
Exactly, and that's what I was going to get to. I don't think it's as lopsided as you're laying out, Hutton, but the AFC does not have an NFC West scenario where all four teams are really, really good. You just don't have that depth of a division in the AFC.
No, it's very rare to have that depth of the division, and the AFC North is very strong. Those three teams are very strong. Three deep is about as good as it usually gets. Cincinnati's not going to be in there with them, and it's very rare they are. And I'm not positive the fourth team in the NFC West, whoever that turns out to be, is going to stay with them. I think Arizona was very impressive on opening day. I don't think Arizona's going to be nearly as good as it was against the Titans over the course of the season. I think Kyler Murray played as well as Kyler Murray is going to play. I think Chandler Jones clearly is not getting five sacks a game. He played as well as he's going to play. I think Arizona will come back to earth somewhat, the way I think that the Titans will come out of the dungeon. Though some of the cracks the Titans show you give you reasonable concerns about what they're going to be able to do.
I'd like to revisit this discussion next week.
Yeah, and we will.
Because what happens if the Titans, as we're going to be going to the Tennessee Power Hour talking more Titans, what if the Titans go to Seattle and get blown out for a second straight week?
Now then you got by some an NFC more West real, opponent. More real concern.
But then just also looking at NFC, AFC, I mean, then suddenly we're going to be coming back here talking about the Titans are frauds 2 weeks into the season, complete frauds. But I don't want to jump to too many conclusions.
In a blowout, you say it was an aberration.
But I tweeted this out. I don't want to jump to too many overriding conclusions on 1 week, But I am pretty certain that the NFC West is going to be elite, top to bottom, and very competitive all season. There are no easy outs in that division.
Oh yeah, and I feel tremendously good about the Rams. I felt really good about them coming in, and the way they played validated a lot of those feelings. There are a lot of teams like that off of week one.
Well,
Bucks also.
We're going to see 0-1 teams. There are four big matchups with 0-1 teams facing 1-0 teams, and how you kind of, in the NFL, it kind of evens itself out throughout the year. Some big week two matchups. Titans at 1-0 Seattle. 0-1 Bills are traveling to Miami, who's 1-0 and already has a division win over New England. Baltimore's 0-1 after giving that game away against the Vegas Raiders. They now travel to Kansas City, who came back and won a big win over Cleveland.
Kansas City starting home.
Huh? Yes, and Dallas 0-1 with a chance to go on the road in L.A. facing the Chargers, who we just mentioned, have a top 10 offense and defensive performance from week one.
Those are four good games.
And it's 0-1 against 1-0.
I think Buffalo wins against Miami pretty easily.
So let me
easily.
Ask it to you this way. 0-2 Titans, 0-2 Bills, 0-2 Cowboys, 0-2 Ravens. Who has the best chance of making the postseason off of that record?
Bills.
You'd still bank on the Bills.
Give them to me again one more time.
Because the Miami Dolphins would be 2-0 in this scenario.
Cowboys. Probably Cowboys based
Titans,
on division.
Titans, Bills, Ravens,
but then
Cowboys.
The Eagles looked a lot Titans, better than I thought also.
Bills, Ravens, Cowboys. I'd say Bills still.
Honestly, it's probably the Titans.
See, that's where I would lean.
It's probably the Titans because the
their division.
Colts did not look good.
And
in
the
their
Colts
first
could be
0-2. Yeah,
the Colts could be 0-2. I should mention they're facing they're facing the Rams, who are 1-0. So that's another
0-1
versus
1-0. I would say this, though. Of those four, go ahead and throw the Colts in. If the Titans are 0-2, to me the Titans are most broken out of those teams.
Wow.
Those other teams are probably most about schedule.
That's interesting.
And
well, the Colts
right?
would be 0-2 after starting two games at home.
Yeah, that's bad, too. But I didn't come in the season thinking the Colts were very good. So I'm not stunned that the Colts could be 0-2. The Titans needed to find a split
There's
out
a
of this, and the Titans needed to play them close.
Well, let's lead into that. Now we're really looking ahead. It would be 0-2 Indy at 0-2 Tennessee in week three.
Now that people are going to sell it. It's not true, but people sell that as an elimination game, right? Week three elimination game.
Well, you could sell Titans Colts as an elimination game every year in some way.
Yeah, but not in week three.
Well, the lineup, the battle between the Titans and Colts becomes elimination because it's quite clear the AFC South champion's the only one going to the playoffs, if you want to look at it that way. It's not done three games into the season, but it's getting pretty close.
Well, you have to size up.
It's getting late early.
What happens to the Bills? What's happening with the Dolphins, with the Chargers, all of those teams? But that would be a pretty desperate scenario.
So now let's flip it. Kansas City in the scenario here that we just threw out would be 2-0. Seattle would be 2-0. L.A. and the Chargers would be 2-0. And the Miami Dolphins would be 2-0.
That's a hell of a nice start for those teams, particularly somebody like the Dolphins that's a team trying to find its wings, right? The confidence and the buy-in and all of those things are at an all-time high. Titans already, some guys were talking today about, we're not going to let that loss divide the locker room. Well, I mean, if they're already feel like they're compelled to have to talk about that, that's pretty big.
That's not a good thing to say right now if you're the Titans. But the Titans hope if they go to Seattle and it's a similar outcome to what they saw against Arizona and they look bad again, their only hope is that the rest of the division is just awful. That's their playoff hope. Because I'm with you, Paul.
Well, the Jags are awful.
Something's wrong at that point. Well, the Jags are awful. Houston should be awful. I mean, that's what's going to happen.
At Outkick 360 is where you can find us on social media. Coming up, it is the Tennessee Power Hour. We'll talk Tennessee Vols football. We'll start by talking Titans football and the mentality of this team as they go into week two facing Russell Wilson and an offense that can be balanced but can also be very balanced in the passing game. We'll explain that and what they'll face as a Titans secondary. That's all straight ahead on Outkick 360 across the Outkick Network.
Hey, it's Jonathan Hutton. Thanks for listening to Outkick 360. Be sure to subscribe to the show to have the latest podcast delivered to you each and every day. And give us 5 stars. It helps us grow our network and provide you with more great podcasts like this one.